It's an interesting thing, even as we see pictures of those who have passed, even in this this past year, as believers of Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstance or situation, we know that we have a hope that is eternal. We know that we have something that is everlasting, forever, in God's love and grace. So I hope that as we're here, it doesn't matter how young or how old we are, the promise is still the same for you and for me. That for those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for those who have a relationship with Him, your life is secure for eternity. I hope that we'll remember that as we talk today, this morning, about how we ought to live our lives. If we are ones who say that we love God and that we know God, then in the way that we live our lives also, it should reflect that and show that. And so this morning, we're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about what true servanthood is, what it means to truly live a faithful and obedient life as a servant. Now, the world teaches us, I believe, that we are our own master. The world teaches us that life is all about us. We have the power to go where we want to. If we work at something hard enough, then we can achieve whatever we put our minds to. The world says you can be successful as long as you're motivated to get what you want. So go, follow your heart, take what you can, however you can get it. If you are your own master, it is all about you. And everything that you do in life, the decisions that you make, the relationships that you make, if you are your own master, everything exists to serve you. But God tells us that that is not how our lives as believers of Christ should be. God tells us that we are not our own master, but that He is our master. When we call Jesus Christ Lord, it's not just a fancy name to call God. It means in relationship to who God is, He is our Lord and Master. And so what that means is life is not all about you and me. Life is all about Him and how we cannot serve ourselves, but serve Him. Our lives should be elevating God's name, making His name known, glorifying Him. Our lives should not be making our name known so that people around will see us and know us. But in the way that we live as servants, we want them to know our Master, God. Good and loving God, gracious God. And I believe that as a true believer, when we learn to serve God, then we can make a positive, eternal impact on the lives around us. We can make a positive, eternal impact in our families, as parents, as children, as brothers and sisters, as workers in our job places. In every arena of life, every area of life, if we learn what it means to truly serve, then people will come to know our Master, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there's two things that we're going to talk about today. Why should we serve? Is it because it's a good thing to do? Is it just so we can help promote peace and unity in the world? No, I believe it's far greater than that. It's actually something that God calls us as believers to do. So if you look in your bulletins, the verses and things are lined out. And the first point I'm going to talk about is this, that God calls us as believers, God calls us to serve Him. God calls us to serve Him. Now, again, if you are your own master, then everything is all about you. You serve yourself. You find other people to serve you. Everything is about getting what you want. And oftentimes in this world, if it's all about you and you are the one who must prove yourself and get what you want, then you start focusing on your own ability, your own strength, your own hard work, whatever those things are, again, in order to serve yourself. And the world really emphasizes these external things. How strong you are, how athletic you are, how smart you are, how diligent you are. There's all these things that the world says, these are the things that you need in this world. And that's a trap that even Christians fall into. Even as believers, we oftentimes want to live as the world tells us we should live. That we too should look at the external things and work on the external things to look like one who is successful in the world. But God doesn't look at those things. He calls us not to serve ourselves, but to serve Him. Now, I wanted to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. And this is how the people of Israel chose their first king. And look at the emphasis in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "And he had a son whose name was Saul." This is talking about Saul, the first king of Israel. "A handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people." Now, this is a description of the first king of Saul, and when people saw him, they saw the external, they saw his good looks, the fact that he was tall, and yes, he had an ability to fight as well, and they took all these external things and said, that is someone who can serve God's kingdom. That is someone who can lead the people of God. But as we see Saul in the way that he lived his life as king, he often found himself not serving God, but serving himself. Everything he did was to make sure that the people knew that he was the king, that he was a great warrior, that he was the good king. If you remember, at some point, they start talking when David starts rising to popularity. They sang a song about David being a great warrior, and Saul got so jealous. He tried to protect his own power. Even though he was a king who was supposed to serve the people and show God, instead, he tried to build himself up. And that's what happens when we, even as believers of God, start looking only at the external things. When we look to serve ourselves, we stop looking at God and we start looking at each other and comparing ourselves. And we start asking questions. Why can't I have more money like that guy? Why can't my family look like that person's family? Why did they get a promotion and I didn't? Why am I going through such hard times? Why don't I have what they have? You see, when we take our eyes off of serving God and we look to serve ourselves, then we compare, we envy. And on the other side, we judge. Some of us, we look around, and when we're looking at serving ourselves, we say, I'm so much better than that guy. Look how I provide for my family, better than that man over there. Look how many times I go to church. Every week I'm there. I read my Bible every day, unlike those people. But God doesn't look at the external things. Look at what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Look at what God says to King Saul because Saul did not serve God. 1 Samuel 13:14 says this, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." You see, Saul looked the part of king. If you just looked at him and saw what he accomplished on the battlefield, even his good looks, his height, you say, "Oh, that's the king. That's someone who can serve God and serve the people well." But look what it says. God doesn't look at the external. He looks here. So you see, serving is not just doing things. "Oh, I did this for you. Oh, that means I served you. Oh, I did this good thing. That means I served." No, God looks for people who have the heart to serve. And that true heart to serve can only come from having a right relationship with God and knowing Him deeply. So when Samuel goes to find the next king, and we know after Saul came David, look what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. It says, "When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" It's so clear right there. You see, as Samuel was looking for the next king, he was still stuck a little bit in the way the world taught what to look for. And so he saw the son of Jesse, Eliab, and thought, "Wow, okay, this is the next king because he looks the part." But God says, "No, he's not the one. I want someone who has the right heart. Someone who can serve me." You see, God calls us to serve him. He's not looking for people who are out to serve themselves. Even in the church, we have people who might be serving, doing lots of things, but still in their heart serving themselves. Isn't that a scary thing? That there are people, not that I've seen in our church, but in churches all around, and maybe if it is you, God wants to speak to you and saying, "Stop serving as the world teaches you to serve. Stop trying to make your name great. Stop trying to have power over other people." No, no, no. You are called to serve him. It's not about you. You're not your own master. God is your master, and he looks at the heart. Now, those of you who might know David and the story of David, he was not perfect by any means. We know that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in fact, after he got her pregnant, another man's wife, he made a plan to have that man, who was his most loyal servant, killed. And so you might think, well, how is David a good example of someone who serves God? Well, we see it in the reaction when they're confronted with their sin. You see, Saul, serving himself, always made an excuse. He justified his mistakes and said, no, "I had to do this, even if it's disobeying you, God. I had to do this. Because I had to keep power. I had to show that I'm still the king." You see, he was serving himself. But David, when he's confronted with his sin, you know what he does? He repents. He understands that when he serves himself, he has failed to serve and obey God. Look what it says with me in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 2. This is David saying, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." You see, David knew that in his sin, it was not only against Bathsheba or the kingdom that he was called to rule over. He knew first and foremost he had sinned against the God who he has been called to serve. And so he says, "Have mercy on me, O God." You see, there's this relationship here where he is not making excuses for his sin, but he's going to God and saying, "God, I know who you are. You are God of steadfast love. You are God of mercy. Blot out my transgressions against you. God, I have done wrong against you." And so you see, even though he is not perfect in his heart, he knows who God is. He has a relationship with him. He knows that he's called to serve him, not himself, but God. So my question to you is this. Do you know that you are called to serve him? In everything that you do as a husband, in everything that you do as a father, in everything that you do as a wife, as a mother, in everything that you do as a worker for your company, everything that you do in every relationship in your life, are you living to serve God? Or are you still concentrating on the external things, trying to get for yourself, trying to build up your own kingdom? And God says, "No, I call you to serve me." Let's learn to trust in God. And if you know and see ways that you have been serving yourself, go to God. David's not wrong in his understanding of who God is. He is rich in love. He is abundant in his mercy. And he will receive you, restore you, and send you out again as he calls you to serve him. Second thing is this. God calls us first to serve him, but in serving him, God calls us to serve others. God calls us to serve others. This is what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." When we truly serve God, we serve others with that same love that he has served us with. You see, this is the mission statement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he is God himself, the Word become flesh, he humbles himself and says, "I am not here to be served, but I'm actually here to serve others." Now just stop and think about that for a moment. This is an amazing thing that I think those of us who have been in church a long time, we stop being amazed at simple truths that should make us stop and say, "Whoa. Wow. God of the universe, he made everything. He spoke it into existence. And yet he came into the world not to be served, but to serve others." Now, just think about that. Would you be able to do that if you were God and you had all the power in the world and you knew who you were and you came into this world and there were people speaking badly of you, wanting to kill you, saying that you were a blasphemer? He served his enemies. No one here, no one in the world deserved God's love. No one in this world deserved God's forgiveness. No one in this world deserved anything but condemnation and judgment from God because of the sin that we have in our hearts. And yet Jesus comes, and he does not come to be served. He doesn't say, hey guys, I'm here. I'm the king. I'm the master. Come, bow before my feet. He doesn't do that. When people speak badly of him, he doesn't say, do you want to see who I am? Meet me outside on the road. He doesn't do that because he's here to serve others. He didn't come to be served. And we see that in John chapter 13 most clearly. John chapter 13, this is what he says after he washes the feet of his disciples. Again, this is God, the King of the universe, our Master, our Lord. And he's on his knees washing the feet of his disciples. This is what he says next. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Now, this is really important. Now, feet in those days, maybe, hopefully everyone here takes good care of your feet, okay? When you take a bath or a shower, you're washing your feet, right? But back in those days, washing of feet was reserved solely for the lowest of servants. The lowest of servants. And yet Jesus chooses willingly to serve his disciples in that way. And the lowest he could go, he goes so that he can serve his disciples. But he doesn't say, okay, well, disciples, just be thankful that I'm doing this. He doesn't stop there. He says, as I have done for you, now go and do to others. So what does that mean for us as believers? If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you know that he has served you, but more than just washing feet, he washes and cleanses our souls. He takes the sin of the world upon his shoulders. He serves us not only by going low and cleaning the feet, but he goes low into the depths of our sin. And he takes that and he shoulders that upon the cross, and he chooses to serve us by giving his life as a ransom for many. For the enemies who curse him, who even put him on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, this is someone who is serving others because he knows God the Father. Everything that Jesus Christ did, remember, our God is Trinity, right? God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, one God that we worship. But Jesus, in history, in this world, being fully man and being fully God, he did the will of God the Father. He obeyed. He served because he was doing what God the Father willed of him to do. So do you serve because you know how Christ has served you? Every day, do you think about the cross and what it means? Every day, do you talk with Jesus? Do you pray? Do you get into the Word? Do you realize what he has done for you? How he has served you? Because if you do, then you will see his call to serve others. Now, guys, it's not easy. Even as Christians, we are still very self-serving. Even as Christians, we can still be so very selfish. And so God calls us to serve him, and God calls us to serve others. But still, there's a big part of us that wants to serve ourselves. And so, you know, I'll be honest. At home, if I see a big pile of dishes forming by the sink, my immediate response or thought is not, Jesus has served me, so I will serve by doing the dishes. Women are like, amen, you should. But that's not my first thought. My first thought is, oh, do I have to do that? And then if I do it, and then my wife, Esther, doesn't say, wow, honey, you did the dishes. That's amazing. You're the most wonderful husband in the world. If she doesn't say that to me, then I say, oh, she didn't even see that I did this. So you see, even though I served, God looks at the heart. That's what's important. So what is my heart as I'm serving? You see, there's two things that I think we need to talk about here. Two things, expectation and favoritism, okay? Expectation and favoritism. Now, these are two things that we can look at practically and say, am I serving others with a heart that knows and loves God? Now, let's look at expectation, okay? When you serve others, do you do so expecting that they're going to give you something back in return? When you serve others, do you do so expecting that you will gain something from serving them? Because if you do go with an expectation of receiving in return, then that's not true serving at all. You see, true serving is knowing God and how He has served us, and He calls us to serve others. And so we serve others without expectation of anything in return, but that we would share the love of God with those who are around us. Amen? But how many of us have many expectations when we serve or when we do something kind for someone else? Very simple example. When I'm driving, if someone's trying to come into the lane and I slow down and I say, sure, go on ahead in front of me, and then they just zoom out in front, if they don't wave like this to say thank you in my heart a little bit, I'm like, hey, they didn't even say thank you. If I open the door for someone and say, oh, here you go, and they just walk through, they don't say, oh, thank you for opening the door, then I say, they didn't even say thank you. You see, there's this expectation that even in these small things that we do, there should be something I get back in return. It's self-serving still, isn't it? Even if you're doing something for someone else, if in your heart you're expecting in return, it's still about you. And God says, that is not how I want you to serve. Remember me. Coming into the world, not to be served, but to serve, and then to give my life upon the cross for your sins. The death that you deserved, I took. The condemnation, the punishment that you deserved, I served you and took upon the cross. Now go and serve others without any expectation of things in return, because you've already received everything that you could and need through my serving you. Second thing is this, favoritism. Now, in the English ministry, we've been going through the book of James, and we've talked about partiality or favoritism. And James, the Word of God, makes it very clear there's no room for favoritism. But in serving, this is the same way. Are you very selective about who you serve? Every one of us here, there are people who are easier to serve and people who are more difficult to serve. Now, if we're truly serving others as God calls us to, it doesn't matter how easy they are to serve or how hard they are to serve, we still ought to serve them. Amen? I'm looking around out here. There's some people who are more difficult to serve. Oh, sorry, I just made eye contact with someone, right? But that's reality. So then I look in my heart and say, why is it difficult for me to serve this person? It's because there's some kind of favoritism. See, I'm choosing who deserves my service. I'm choosing who gets to receive my service. And when I do that, who is it still about? It's still about me. And God says, no, I call you to serve. I call you to serve me and then serve others. Stop doing things that ultimately are about yourself. And it's a tricky, very interesting thing that we are so good at serving ourselves. You know, Saul, we talked about King Saul, he actually tried to use God to serve himself. We do that too sometimes, don't we? When we go to God and pray, we just pray for things that we want. And it's okay. God calls us to pray about everything. But sometimes when we go to him, we just say, you know, God, I'm coming to you. But there's no love relationship, God, I love you. It's just, God, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. Somehow we use prayer that's supposed to be about our relationship with Jesus, and we make it about still getting what we want. Brothers and sisters in Christ here at CCC, will you serve God? Will you serve others in this church, in your families, in your friendships, in your schools? Will you serve because he has served you? Will you love in the way that he has loved you? That's our calling, to serve others. Now let me give you some more examples. For all the parents out here, maybe you're coming home from a hard day of work, long day of work, and you're just tired. And your kids, maybe they come running up to you, and they just want to hang out with you. They want your time. They want your energy. To serve them, what does that look like? Well, I know what serving yourself looks like in that moment. It's, I've had a long day. I'm going to go rest. I don't have time for this right now. That's serving yourself. You see, that's actually favoring yourself. I'm tired. I'm the most important person. So you're saying you need something from me, but I'm not going to give it. Because I'm going to serve myself. I'm going to get some rest. I'm going to do these things. That's not serving God or others. Serving others means even when it is difficult, even when it may be uncomfortable, even if it is costly to you, you choose to do it. How did God serve us? It was costly. Jesus Christ himself died upon a cross. So if he's calling us to serve as he served us, then that means you don't only serve when it's comfortable. It means you don't only serve when it's convenient. You serve even when it's costly. Even when you don't get in return. So I challenge you here in this place. Even in, maybe God's laying on your heart to serve the church in some way. Ask God to give you a heart of service. True serving, because you know who he is in your life. You have a relationship with him. He calls us to serve others. And when you serve, be committed. Do you hear that? There is commitment in serving God. It's not at your own leisure. It's not just when you can find time to do it. It's serving in committed obedience to God. We have new board members that are going to be coming onto the board. You better have that heart, because God's calling you to serve him and serve others. Be committed, because God calls us in that way. Will you live in this kind of way? Reflect on your own lives. Have you been living as true servants of God in this world? Or have you been serving yourselves? The great hope and great peace that we have is that even when we get lost in serving ourselves, Christ does not just say, okay, I'm done with you. He continues to bring you back through the Word of God, through the body of Christ, to say, hey, remember what it looks like to truly serve. God calls us to serve Him. God calls us to serve others. We trust in God for His strengthening and His love to do so. So let's be a church filled with servants of God, committed in obedience to Him. Let's pray together. Just take 1 minute to pray. 1 minute. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, simply ask God to give you a servant's heart. You're not meant to serve yourself. It's not all about you. It's about Him, what He has done in your life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer here, maybe you've gone to church for a long time, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been serving externally, outwardly, even in the church. But in your heart, you don't know what it means that Jesus Christ served you. Ask God to open up your heart. When you know the Lord, serving Him in the church or anywhere else, it becomes a brand new thing. Because it's not about you anymore or what you have to offer or what you have to give. It becomes about Christ in you. Something you cannot offer by yourself. Let's serve and offer Jesus. Can we pray for that just for a moment? And then I'll close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, You are so very good to us. You call us to be servants. You call us to serve You. And out of that serving You, You call us to serve others. God, we repent that we fail to serve You so often because we're too busy serving ourselves. But we thank You that You give to us Your forgiveness that is once and for all. You give to us Your grace that is sufficient for us, so that even when we fail in our serving, because You served us, You can pick us back up and push us again forward so that we can grow to know what it means to truly serve. God, I pray for our church and every congregation, the Chinese-speaking congregation, the English-speaking congregation, that we will grow as a serving church. So help us to serve in all the different ways that You call us to do. And may we have true service because our hearts are set upon You, our God. We thank You. Continue to challenge us. Help us to be committed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now go into a time.